I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. I'm joined now by Natasha Barron. She is an award-winning writer, director, and filmmaker. She's just written a graphic comic, Gray Seal Number 1. In it, a Navy SEAL, Trevor Jones, is shot and paralyzed in the midst of a top-secret mission. The novel begins with some 6 months after, and we see him haunted by the artifact they were meant to retrieve, and by powerful beings from beyond. I'll get Ms. Barron to tell us about this book, how she works, what she's working on now, and more. It's also a great chance for me to learn about this genre. Visit 3brains.com. That's 3BRANES.com for information on the book. There's also a trailer for the book on there. One can get the book for their device or computer at all the usual outlets online. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Natasha Barron. Ms. Barron, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Where are you today?
I'm actually in Boston, Massachusetts. We just got here, and excuse me for the background noise. I'm actually at the courthouse, which was the quietest spot that I could find.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
I apologize.
No, that's fine. You're in the midst of filming a movie, are you?
No, I'm actually in the midst of writing my next project, which is a spy film, and I'm actually here interviewing a technical advisor. So
I see.
I'm on my next project.
Yeah. Okay. So Vancouver is home, though, right?
Vancouver is home.
Yeah.
I'll be back home at the end of this week. So
yeah.
You had a question about where the idea originated from.
Yeah. Like, how did this all come about?
Okay, so I've always been a huge fan of alternate evolutionary theories. I've always been totally fascinated by how are we here, why are we here. And no, I'm not a total kook. Well, maybe not entirely. A little bit of a kook. But that's always been very interesting to me. I read a lot of Graham Hancock books and a lot of Eric von Daniken books. So that was sort of the inspiration for the story. And, you know, I've always been very intrigued by men who serve their countries and who put their lives on the line. So I wanted to kind of marry the two.
Yeah.
And that's where the story came from. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an ambitious book. I mean, that's what some critics have said. The other thing that I found particularly interesting is about Trevor Jones. I guess he's the lead character in the novel. He's a Navy SEAL. He gets shot, but he's a complex guy. He's not 100% likable.
No, he's not. I didn't want to make him your typical paraplegic that everybody immediately falls in love with.
Exactly.
I think he was. Yeah, I wanted him to be the guy that you may not have liked when he was still, like, before he was shot, before he was paralyzed. He probably would have been a guy that a lot of women would have probably thrown themselves at, so to say. But I don't think he would have been very respectful of them. I don't think he would have had a lot of friends, male or female. I think he was quite full of himself and really had it all. He had, you know, his good looks, great job, you know, fantastic career, lots of places to see throughout his life. He could travel on Navy money everywhere, and you know, he really had it all.
So
everything.
So
one day it just ended.
Yeah. So for people listening. I guess he has to figure out who shot him, right, or what happened in the situation that led to his being a paraplegic, right?
He has to figure out who shot him, and you know, the personal journey that I'm hoping to incorporate more into the second book that I'm also working on right now is, you know, he really put a lot of stock, a lot of value into who he was based on his training and what he felt he was given and the opportunities that he was given, and of course into his physique and into his physical abilities. So I'm hoping that he will learn that he's a lot more than that. There's a lot more to him than just that. And one of the first things that people ask me initially is he going to walk again? you know, because we can't have a hero who doesn't walk. And I said, no, he's not going to walk again. No, not immediately. I haven't totally decided yet. I want him to find salvation, not necessarily through becoming able-bodied again.
Yeah.
So I wanted him to find value in his life outside of that. And, of course, you know, there's the big mystery and the big intrigue of who he is. And at the end of book one, of course, we leave off with some big cliffhanger. And then in book two and three and four and five, five is being the last book, is when we kind of conclude all the loose ends.
Yeah. How do you work when you put this thing together? I mean, you write. Did you write it first, or do the illustrator people, or how do you guys work?
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting is, of course, I don't know if I think you know this, but the listeners may not. I did not start out life being a comic book writer. I actually didn't grow up reading comics either. I'm a screenwriter. And so the reason I made a comic book is because I really envisioned Grey Seal as a fringy type of television series. And so one of the ways that people break into television series work nowadays is much like The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. Through a graphic novel first. So that's why it was written that way. I didn't really see it as a feature film. I saw it as a TV series and graphic novel, and in many, you know, book compendiums was really the best way for me to tell the story. It has a lot of longer arcs, character arcs and story arcs that just would not have worked any other way. So I work it the same way as I would work if I worked in a television series. It sort of gets broken down by season.
Mm-hmm.
First by the entire, you know, episode, or for the entire series arc, and then by episode, I break it down for the entire season. And then it just goes from there. So
book one, would that be considered a season, would it?
It would be a season, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a lot more set up season. There would be, you know, a lot more reversals, a lot more twists and turns if it were a TV series. But essentially, we would arrive at the exact same spot at the end of the season finale after the first season.
And in terms of how the characters look, like Trevor Jones or Ming, the Chinese prostitute that Jones is involved
uh-huh.
with, you obviously have a say in that, right?
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, when I initially thought of this series, I really wanted Hilo from Battlestar Galactica, Tamil Penica, to play Trevor. That was just, you know, who I visualized. So it sort of resembles him, and of course Tamil is the voice for the trailer that we made for the book, which is actually an interesting story. When I talked to my publicist for the book, she said, okay, so you have the trailer for the book, and I said, the trailer? Books have trailers? I didn't know books have trailers. And she said, yeah, comic books have trailers. So, sorry about the siren in the background.
No, that's fine.
So he ended up doing the voice for the trailer, which I was totally thrilled about.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of the research involved, I mean, I noticed that in the acknowledgments you thank people that have been in the Navy.
Yes.
You do some research, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I had two technical advisors, Lieutenant Commander Cor Pierce, and a former Navy officer, and also my ex-husband, Miles Barron.
Mm.
So those were the two technical advisors that I had.
And the illustrations for the book, I mean, how many people were involved in that?
There are eight in total.
Yeah. And
there are eight illustrators.
And how do they work? I mean, is that freehand, or is that all on the computer?
It's freehand on a tablet
is how
it works. I've often wondered that too. I've asked them, like, do you guys draw this and then scan it? And they said, no, we actually draw on a tablet. And they're based out of Bogota, Colombia, which is an interesting story. I worked with them on a different project years ago on an animated web series called Kingdoms of Grace that I wrote and produced. And that's how I got to know them. My partner at the time was originally from Colombia, so he introduced me to them. And two of them speak English, two two of the eight speak English. The rest don't, and that's how we worked. We actually, I flew there a couple of times, they flew to Vancouver, and then the rest we did over Skype. We worked for 2 years together, every day spending about 3-4 hours on Skype together, and that's how we made the project. So since then, I love working with them, and their original line of work was comic books anyway. It wasn't animation, it was comic books, so they kind of went back to their roots, and they really enjoy doing that. And I think they're really good at it. So,
yeah.
And we work so well together. We have done, you know, enough projects now together where we can speak in half sentences, and they understand from my stick figures what I'm looking for, and they're just really awesome.
Yeah. How well do you draw yourself?
It's not a pretty thing.
No.
At all. No, it's like stick men, and I have to actually even explain which way the stick men are facing when I show it to them, because
yeah.
I cannot draw at all, so I wish.
Yeah.
I wish.
Now, the audience for this, this isn't for children, obviously, I mean, even though it's
no.
a comic book, so this is for adults, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It has a lot of mature themes.
Right. The response to it's been pretty good, though?
It has been really good, actually. I've had couple of people email me directly, actually, about it and telling me how much they enjoyed it. And interestingly enough, although most of the producers that have initially about have all said, you know, Trevor's got to walk. He's got to walk. He's just got to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Most of the audience who have read it, they all said, it's so great that he doesn't.
Yeah.
We like the fact that, you know, we have a hero here who doesn't walk and who's not, you know, looking like he's going to tomorrow. So... yeah, it's been great, and I actually had the gentleman who wrote to me, who himself is disabled, and he was really impressed with how I approached the intimate scene. He was really appreciating that.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of research that went into that.
So you mentioned that there'll be five of these, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm writing book two right now, and. They're beginning illustration on it in January, so it should be out in June again.
Yeah, do you know how it'll end?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of sci-fi, and one of the things that have always bothered me about sci-fi series is the ending. I just feel like the audience gets ripped off, where, you know, you're kind of working towards something, you're peddling, and the audience is expecting sort of, but they want the big answer of, okay, what are we all waiting for here? And then we just get let down. So I had the ending from the very beginning. I knew exactly how it will end, and I just had to sort of plot it along the way to keep it interesting. But absolutely, there will be an ending.
Well, what comes first for you?
That will be satisfying.
Yeah. Well, what comes first for you? Is it the story, the plot, or is it the sort of developing these characters?
You know, it's probably two things. For me, I get excited about an idea. I get excited about the what ifs, and the best way I can describe it is, imagine, you know, and of course everybody will know this movie, imagine if we could recreate dinosaurs.
Right.
Sort of, it's like that for me. It's that kind of an idea, and that's what drives it. And after that, I usually think about, okay, so who are going to be the characters in my story that are going to tell this, you know, to me, very compelling idea? And then, of course, it starts from there. I start to add some complexities to them and you know, see what happens. And once you have a character really developed in your mind, I think it kind of writes itself. It's just like saying, okay, this is the scenario. I've got these three characters that I know really well. What would they do? It's like when you know, take your uncle and grandpa and your mom into Thanksgiving, and you pretty much know exactly what's going to go down. It's sort of like that. Scene by scene, for me, I kind of get to know what these characters would do.
And so the plan is still to turn this into a television series one day?
Yeah, that would be my big dream. And I would love to see Tamil play Trevor. That would be great.
Yeah,
that is the big dream, but I think probably the rest of the books will have to, or at least, you know, two more books will have to come out before any conversation like that can be had.
Yeah. Now, you know, you've used the internet for a while now, using it to distribute your work. I've been reading this about you. I find it interesting because one of the things that you say that the internet is good for is that it allows you the sort of creative freedom that you wouldn't get elsewhere. I mean, you still think that after all these years?
I do. I think, you know, and this is just what I think. I think there's going to be a new model, you know, pretty soon, and I think it's coming back to creative, and it's also coming back to what does the audience want. I think because of the internet, the audience has a huge say in what they like, a lot bigger say than what they would have on the networks. Because I don't know if the Nielsen ratings or whatever they use to measure a success of a television series, besides looking at the ad money that the advertisers are spending on it, but in terms of success, like audience interest, I don't know how well it's measured. But on the internet, you know, when it's direct distribution, you can really see if something is of interest to people. So I'm excited about that. I like the fact that it's going back to content and it's going back to what does the audience want to see.
And so I read this book. Your publicist sent it to me via the computer, so I read it off of my laptop.
Okay.
Can people get that, like the sort of a paper copy or a dead tree copy of Grayscale?
Yes, you can. You can get a paper copy. I actually have a deal with Toy Traders, a comic book store in British Columbia out of Langley, and they're currently selling it off their shelves. And I also have the electronic copies that you have through Amazon and through iBooks and Kobo and Kindle.
Yeah.
Oh, Kindle is Amazon. Nook, that's the last one I was looking for, the Barnes & Noble Nook.
Yeah.
So I have it available on those as well. At some point, I would like to have hard copies available through Amazon, but it's a little bit cost prohibitive at this point, but it will be. And I think also with tablets, with iPads and Nexus 7s and all those things out there, I think a lot of people do enjoy reading things online.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Now, you mentioned that the audience has a huge say on the internet. The sort of feedback that you're getting, I mean, you mentioned some of the responses that you've been getting for Grayscale. Does that affect how, in the course of writing, say, the next the next book?
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. Absolutely. I totally listen because a lot of the people who take the time to write are often the people who have grown up on comic books, and they have a certain expectation and they have a certain interest. So absolutely, I listen to that. I, you know, if I don't write for them, it's just a hobby, really. So yeah, absolutely. I've already made some changes based on feedback that I have received from people, you know, things that they were interested in, some of the storylines that they were more intrigued by. I already made some changes based on that. So absolutely.
Now, you mentioned that you didn't read comics growing up. Did you read much in this genre? Sort of sci-fi
Yeah, absolutely. I read a lot of sci-fi, and I watch a lot of sci-fi movies as well and TV series. But what really inspired me to do this were two things, the two projects that inspired me to do this. One of them is called Why the Last Man. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's actually being turned into a movie now. It was one of the best, one of the best ideas that I've heard. Where I just thought, wow, that's really original. That's really cool. And it was a 10-book graphic novel that's being turned into a movie right now. So that was one of the first ones that I read. That I just sat back and I went, hey, wait a minute. You can really tell a very compelling story through this medium. This is awesome. And the next thing was, of course, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which I have now read all the books, and of course I'm watching the TV series. So those were the two that really influenced how I was going to tell this story and how I was going to adapt it to a comic book, to a graphic novel.
Hey, the times that we're in, I mean, The Walking Dead is huge. It's sort of sci-fi and the sort. I mean, it's come into a sort of renaissance, hasn't it?
Yes. I absolutely love The Walking Dead. I love the characters. And you know, yeah, we have zombies and they eat people, but really, and sometimes I am pretty scared when I watch the TV series. Let it be known that there is a blanket involved and I'm hiding behind it. But I love the characters. I love the idea of these little micro communities and how we adapt, how we turn back into, essentially cavemen. It's a really, really cool concept of finding how you can be useful to a group, what sort of skills, can you offer, and how you will fit in into this group that is no longer governed by, what we have been brought up by society, as it were. So it's a really, really interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Yours is the first graphic novel I've ever read, and I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate your time today. Continued good luck with Gray Seal and the future books.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. The website for more, 3brains.com. That's 3BRANES.com. Gray Seal is the graphic novel. Its author, Natasha Barron, on the line from Boston, Massachusetts, in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunter.